Colin, lots going on in the racing world. You got the Indy 500, the F1 at Monaco, NASCAR's first event at the Challenge of Americas. Man, it is busy. So let's start, I guess, with let's go F1 at Monaco, as they're trying to drastically reduce costs to expand the number of races and markets served. What do you think of this? Do you think it's possible?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, it's funny, you know, we've got a few things to go over with, you know, some of the series and what their challenges are. But, you know, that's definitely where F1's attention has been over the last little bit, is that they want to reduce costs. They want to try and smarten up the racing to allow for you know, more opportunity for overtake and put more of the driving back in the driver's hands instead of being so technologically you know, driven. I mean, obviously F1 is still going to be the pinnacle of racing technology, but it's interesting to me where everyone's focus is in the various series though.
So how would you put that back in their hands then? Like there's computers everywhere, you know, what can be done to maybe unwind some of the computer's influence?
Yeah, I mean, computers and that level of technology isn't really what's going on. I mean, where the technology has been like kind of overused or overdone is with like aerodynamics, like wind tunnel testing, you know, developing these crazy parts. You know, again, some of these teams are spending $500-700 million. Which is going to be reduced down to just over 140 million. I say just, you know, if you say it fast, it's not so not so bad. But they're making some you know, significant changes to the engines. They're making significant changes to the bodywork and you know, around the floorboard, that the cars are going to be less dependent on downforce from you know, from the wings and the upper part of the body, and they're going to allow for under tray, you know, and more of what are known as ground effect to allow the cars to suck down more than being pushed. So that's kind of where that's going.
Now, the other one is interesting. NASCAR fans seem pretty upset about you can't move the position or the size of the numbers on the car. Well, none of us like change for the most part, but that one seems kind of odd to me. Like people, like I've been reading online, like they are fired up about changing the position of the number or the size of it. Why is this? Why do you think this is such a big deal?
I think, you know, people are spoiled. And now that everyone seems to have a voice through social media, I mean, you know, we're talking about, you know, drastic reductions in the budget in F1 with technological changes. You know, IndyCar is working so hard to try and structure a new TV deal to bring some merit back and some value back to that series. You know, our Pinty series is you know, they announced this morning that it's going to get pushed back likely to at least August. And the biggest topic, and I mean, this isn't a new thing. This has been going on and I've tried to avoid it for most of the year, but it just doesn't seem to be going away, that, you know, NASCAR fans in the Cup Series and the top levels, that's the biggest thing. And so many people, you know, are just up in arms that if you move the position of the numbers, I'm not watching your series anymore. And like, I guess they've got some pretty spoiled fans.
Talking all things racing for the Cantorque Racing Report with Colin Livingston. And Colin, sticking with the IndyCar, you know, another race gets dusted here, the Toronto Indy canceled for the second year. Is it hard for these guys to kind of keep the momentum they had, you know, for these races, like the promoters, or are they able to kind of know that, let's say year three, it happens for sure, they'll be back to where they were pre-COVID?
Yeah, I mean, with Indy, it's not a new race. It's definitely one of the showcase events for IndyCar. The teams love it. You know, in any of my associations with these guys, I mean, they just love getting across the border. You know, Toronto's a really unique situation because where the racetrack is at the exhibition center is just on the outskirts of downtown. So everything's right there. It's, you know, it's a 5-minute cab ride. It's a 20-minute walk, which I've done many, many times. You know, you've got the background of, you know, Canada's largest city. They'll be fine and the race will come back there. I mean, the series,
definitely values Canada. We've produced a number of great drivers, and we have a lot of really supportive fans here. I'm sure they'll, that's not a consideration. It's tough for organizers that, they line up sponsors, they line up, events and all the surrounding, support, events and series and things like that. And, to have them keep getting canceled is discouraging. But no, I'm, as the vaccinations are rolling out, and I think the restrictions will wane over the year. We'll definitely be back more to normal next year.
So Indy 500 qualifying goes this weekend. Anyone specific you're watching that we should be looking for?
No. I'm watching right now as we're talking. I've got the live feed on a laptop, so I've this is my nerddom or my geekdom for racing. I've had this on for like the last 4.5 hours. Watching the difference between these guys running out in single car trim, which is what they're, they're doing a variety of simulations right now, trying to get a feel for what the car's like in traffic when they draft, and then what the car's like on its own. But even though they've been testing now for 3 straight days, they've got 6 or 8 hours of testing per day. 6 hours of testing per day. We don't know, and nobody, even the teams, won't really know what the cars have until tomorrow, when the series allows the teams to increase the boost level of the turbochargers. They're predicting that the corner entry speeds are going to go up by roughly 10 miles an hour, and some of these guys are entering turn one and turn three at over 230 miles an hour. So it's going to be a crazy difference. They'll get the 1 day of practice tomorrow with qualifying boost levels, and then obviously they go into qualifying Saturday and Sunday. It's just going to be a crazy week. Once they finish on Sunday, they're off track until what's called Carb Day on Friday next week, and then the big Indy 500 next Sunday.
You're listening to the Cantorque Racing Report on the Jason Greger Show, joined by Colin Livingston, the man who self-proclaimed invented the original flange. Is that true, Colin?
That is not true. No, I did not invent the flange.
It was in my notes here, so I just thought I'd slip it in there. But we'll discuss that off the air.
Yeah, we didn't invent the flange, but... We definitely improved the technique for getting them together.
he didn't invent it, but he improved it. That's for sure. Let's look at F1. It was supposed to be some Turkish GP, but that was canceled. And, they're moving things around up and down a week. I'm curious, and in F1 and all the racing, when you have this type of, required flexibility to get the races in, does that affect preparation for teams and racers moving into these races?
No, not so much, because your car, the platform is basically the same no matter where you go. The teams, in F1, they have different, for lack of a better term, different aggression of their wings. So they can run, in simple terms, they can run a real high downforce wing, a medium downforce wing, or a low downforce wing, depending on how fast the track is. But they don't, that's something that happens in very short order. It's just kind of interesting because this Turkish Grand Prix, which was going to happen in June, is the race that was put on the calendar last minute after Montreal's race was canceled, both due to COVID. So, now they're just going to run a doubleheader in Austria. The teams, their entire world is based on adapting and responding with very short order. One of the cars this morning, I'm trying to think of who it was. It was Mick Schumacher from the Haas F1 team. Made a little mistake. Monaco is a really, really, really tough track. I mean, it is. Candidly, I'm not a big fan of this weekend. It used to be really awesome when it lined up. A week later, because we would get to the track in Indy, and the teams had the race on the TV, so we'd be able to watch the Monaco race from the garage. Then we would go do the Indy 500, and then later that night we get to watch the Coca-Cola 600. But with F1 moving the race, that's not going to line up anymore. But that Monaco race is it's in the streets of Monte Carlo, so there's not a lot of room. There's no runoff. There's no forgiveness. If you go, you know, if you push a whisker too hard, you're hitting the wall. You know, Schumacher did that this morning, got a bit of a puncture, broke the right rear. They're going to have to take that car apart, you know, fix the whole thing before they go qualify on Saturday. But that's just part of the game.
Colin Livingston joins us. Colin, usually the Monaco Grand Prix is typically next weekend, but they've moved it up. It's going to be this weekend. So you look at F1, and Hamilton's obviously doing what Hamilton does. At Monaco, is there any team, anyone you feel that can give him a run for his money?
This after watching practice this morning, you know, I would have had a couple of predictions, but man, Ferrari really, they jumped to the top of the timing sheets at the end of FP2 this morning. So they're, you know, they indicated that they basically threw everything that they had at the car. They think that Mercedes and Red Bull are saving something for the weekend. Everything at this race comes down to qualifying. I mean, you're not going to see cars passing each other on the track unless somebody makes a catastrophic error. You know, with a few exceptions. I mean, all the passes and all the lead changes happen through pit strategy. So really at this place, you know, everything comes down to Saturday. So they're going to throw, you know, if you break your effort into a conventional F1 weekend into like half of your effort goes into qualifying and half goes into racing, this weekend, it'll be like 90% of their effort goes into qualifying because, you know, it's such a tight track. If you position your car kind of half a car width off of what the normal racing line is, it's physically impossible to pass somebody. So, yes, everything comes down to Saturday.
That's pretty interesting. You think about that, like it's almost like the race doesn't matter, you know. So is this a race
that sucks?
Yeah, does it frustrate the drivers and I guess the fans alike?
The thing is, there's so much pageantry and the scenery is really what it's at, and it's one of the most historic races, longest serving races on the F1 calendar. As far as a race goes, I agree. It's a terrible race. I mean, you know, I love seeing the overtakes. I love seeing the challenges, but watching these cars rip through the streets of this, you know, super old city, it's pretty cool in its own right. But yeah, I'm always more than happy, when Monaco's, you know, past date is in the calendar and we're moving on.
And one last one for me, Colin. So, you know, we've talked about Monaco, and that's a little bit different. Now you go to NASCAR, and, hey, Hendrick Motorsports had finishing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened before?
I don't remember it ever happening, you know, to another team, and it definitely hasn't happened for Hendrick. Like, you know, they're certainly one of the premier teams. They've done everything. But yeah, to see that level of finish, you know, you're usually pretty happy if you can get three of your cars in the top 10. But to you know, to wipe out the first four spots was really, really awesome to see.
Colin, always good to catch up with you, man. I appreciate it. Have yourself a good week. Enjoy the weekend of racing.
Always do. Thanks a lot, guys.